Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Hope you had a good weekend. You know what happened a few days ago? Because a lot of things aren't happening like they normally happen because of coronavirus. But the oldest running black rodeo in the United States rode, and it rode on in Oklahoma despite COVID-19. Bleep you, coronavirus. The oldest continuously held black rodeo in the United States rode on in eastern Oklahoma despite months of uncertainty. This year, some of the black cowboys did wear face masks along with their cowboy boots. The 65th annual Roy LeBlanc Invitational Rodeo took place in Okmulgee. Or would that be Okmulgee? It's a town about 90 miles east of Oklahoma City. They had a crowd of around 1,000 people showed up, and some 200 black cowboys competed. Coleman, you're a black guy. You ever get into a rodeo? You ever get into being a cowboy?
Nope.
Every once in a while, I change my style. I change my outfits and the way I dress and such because I get a little bit bored. I don't want to get stuck in a rut. And I've always said, you know, the next time I make a change like that, I'm going cowboy. I want to go for the cowboy look. I think the cowboy hats look cool. I think wearing the tighter jeans with the boots is a good look. I've never made that move yet. I've gone in other different ways, but I've never gone to the cowboy chic look yet.
I've never gotten involved in anything that involved animals, whether it's cowboy, zookeeper, beekeeper, safari, anything that has something to do with nature and animals, I'm out. I'm an indoor technology guy, not an outdoor woodsman type, you know?
Yeah, you are. You help me when I have some computer issues.
Yes, keep me away from the horses and bulls.
You know, when I saw this story about the black cowboys, it got me thinking about the one of the funniest movies ever made, Blazing Saddles. I mean, not only couldn't that movie be made today, but that movie made some news last week when HBO Max decided to slap a warning label on Blazing Saddles.
It's the second time we've seen this.
Well, you know, HBO Max, they were the same company that slapped a warning label on Gone with the Wind.
Yep.
That classic. And now we've seen a couple of other warning labels be put on films. But now HBO Max is back. And they have a warning. They hired. This is much like, remember in the 80s with our music, the PMRC, led by then Senator Al Gore's wife, Tipper Gore.
Tipper, yeah.
And other senators' wives, they said, look, there's these record albums by bands like Judas Priest and AC/DC and Twisted Sister and other bands, and there's songs on there that we don't think it's good for kids to listen to. So you know what we should do? We should put a warning label on the albums. And so they ended up doing that. But what they didn't realize was when they put the warning labels on the albums and the cassette tapes back then,
mm-hmm.
that just guaranteed that kids would do whatever it possibly took to go get those albums and cassettes to add to their collections. The PMRC stickers kind of backfired on the PMRC.
Yeah, the difference is a warning sticker is a lot different from watching a three-minute lecture before you watch a movie. And I wonder if it's optional. You know how when you watch a Netflix movie, and if you're watching a Netflix TV show, as I say, and you have the option to skip the intro to the theme song to the TV show and just get straight to the show. I wonder if you want to watch Blazing Saddles on the streaming HBO network, do you have the option to skip through the lecture before you actually get to the movie?
Well, HBO Max hired a professor from the University of Chicago named Jacqueline Stewart. I believe she's the newest, one of the newest hosts on Turner Classic Movies as well, this woman. And I like that channel because I'm a big movie fan. But they hired her to set things up for anyone who might be clicking on the Mel Brooks comedy Blazing Saddles, thinking they're in for a Swedish drama or thinking they're in for whatever they're thinking they're in for. She informs us that the movie features, quote, racist language and attitudes, but those attitudes are espoused by characters who are explicitly portrayed here as narrow-minded, ignorant bigots. The film's real and much more enlightened perspective is represented by the two main characters. That's her warning.
So it's not enough for you to just watch the movie and make your own assessment of it. Now they have to tell you what to look for in the movie. Because when they have the warning labels in front of the movies, hey, this movie contains adult language, adult themes, adult content, that should be enough. But now they have to go as far as to tell you, by the way you need to watch this movie is in this perspective right
yeah.
here.
Yeah, you're right. It's not enough to say there's nudity.
Yeah.
There's bad language in here. There's cigarette smoking in here. You know, right. they do that now in some movies.
Yeah.
What? Warning, smoking, cigarette
right.
smoking.
And it's not just drugs. Drug uses no. smoking cigarettes, yeah. tobacco. Yeah.
Warning.
So now they have to tell you how to watch the movie. Hey, the main characters are good guys, and the bad guys, they're narrow-minded. Like, you can figure that out just by watching the movie without having somebody to tell you about it.
So this warning by the University of Chicago professor Jacqueline Stewart, it should be entitled Blazing Obviousness. That's what the warning should be entitled. Since pretty much everybody already knew everything she was going to say. Or she's probably just writing this for the person who just stumbles across Blazing Saddles and thinks it is an epic drama, that it is serious or whatever the case may be. You know, are they going to do the same thing for that movie that became a very successful Broadway play, The Producers? You know, there's a song in The Producers called Springtime for Hitler. I wonder if HBO Max will hire this woman.
Now they will, since she gave them the idea.
To inform people, you know, Springtime for Hitler, it's supposed to be a comedy, a comedic song about this awful man. It's not praising him like you might think.
Yeah, somebody's going to watch The Producers and say, oh, they're taking this way too serious. And you know what? It's a shame because they are a part of society that will take it too seriously and say it shouldn't be. Like, why are they even making this song? Oh, it's so offensive. So there is a segment of society that will get offended by, but you can't help that. There's somebody offended by everything.
What about another Mel Brooks classic, History of the World Part 1? There's the song and dance number in there about the Spanish Inquisition. Are they going to come on and are they going to say a warning before this? You know, this isn't.
I think they will at some point. Every movie.
This is scary stuff. Whether it's this or whether it's editing Mark Twain books or whatever they're doing. This isn't good. All of this stuff was made art. Is art, and it was made. It was all made at a specific time, and Times are different now than they were when this type of art was made. But you shouldn't go back and change it, or you shouldn't have to warn people. You know, this is art. Watch out. Anyway, I think it's wrong. But getting back to what we started with, I'm glad that they had the oldest running black rodeo in the United States in Oklahoma. It rode on, right on, despite coronavirus. And when I read that story, I thought of the movie Blazing Saddles.
I thought of how the Sturgis rally went. You know, like
we'll talk more about that coming up.
Okay.
Did you see any video from that?
No. No, I had a do-nothing weekend this weekend, and I enjoyed it. I just unplugged.
Cool. Yeah, we've got a lot to get to on the show today. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. We don't get too much into politics on this radio show because, much like social media, much like Facebook and such, never going to change anyone's mind when you talk about politics. You know, there are people that get on Facebook and they stand on their soapbox and they make all these political points and, you know, they'll get 12 likes and, you know, they think they're doing their part to help inform the world, to help change the world, and Coleman. We do a radio show. We want to have fun. You know, and sometimes, like I'm about to mention something political, and sometimes something political is big news. It's something that many, many, many people are talking about. And we'll throw in our 3 cents. I saw a couple of days ago where California Senator Kamala Harris, who is now Joe Biden's vice president, hopeful, running mate, she tweeted out that our president, Donald Trump, is trying to destroy the United States Postal Service. Because Trump doesn't want mail-in voting in most states this November. And the Democrats want people to be able to vote by mail. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I see how that can be manipulated. I see how there could be different types of problems when it comes to mail-in voting. But anyways, the reason I brought her tweet up is because I think she was wrong when she said Donald Trump is trying to destroy the United States Postal Service. Because in my opinion, the United States Postal Service has already destroyed the United States Postal Service over the last several years. I'm just going to tell you how much money they've lost in recent history. In 2019, the United States Postal Service, the USPS, lost $8.8 billion. Billion. The year before that, in 2018, it was a better year for the United States Postal Service. They lost $3.9 billion. The year before that, 2017, the USPS lost $2.7 billion. In 2016, they lost $5.6 billion. In 2015, they lost $5.1 billion. In 2014, they lost $5.5 billion. Could you imagine being any business in the private sector with yearly results like this and still just going to work every day like these people do?
I mean, I can't imagine. Maybe Alvin Gentry does, but no.
Hey, finally got some good news on that front over the weekend, Coleman. And then in 2013, they lost another $5 billion. And then 2012, they lost $15.9 billion in 2012. I could go on. But the United States Postal Service has been destroyed for a long time. I do not know. They even work on Sundays now. Do you know, in New Orleans yesterday, I saw a mail woman in a mail truck driving around, and she pulled over near where I lived, and she got out, and she went to the back of her truck, and she opened it up and took a couple of packages out. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, with all that money they lose, here they are still working on Sundays.
I didn't even know they had off days, really. I thought the mail came every day. Because I only check the mail like once a week. I only check it on payday, because that's the only time I had the bravery to check what's in my mailbox. So I didn't know whether...
Yeah, Coleman, you're a little bit younger than me. You don't remember the time in life when the mail used to be an important thing, something we needed. We haven't needed the mail or the United States Postal Service. We haven't needed it since the advent of the internet.
The only thing I get in my mail is bills, so I never look forward to going to my mailbox.
It's either bills or junk mail. It's either bills or stuff that we get, we take out, we look at, and deposit it right into the trash. It's there's really nothing in between.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. All right. The same people that are saying they want mail-in voting, right, are the same people that thought that the election was hacked by Russians, and they don't see, like, wait, hold up. The election could have been tampered with, and they had this whole two-year investigation to see how Russian tampered with the mail, like the computers or whatever they thought that Russia did. Now, these are the same people that are secure enough to say, yeah, let's try mail-in voting this year.
Yeah.
That's ironic.
Yeah, those are the same people. And so evidently, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the woman whose eyes always look like she's shocked and surprised, Nancy Pelosi, she has called Congress back because now they're supposed to be on vacation until September. She says, hey, you got to come back and you got to take a vote to stop this president from destroying the United States Postal Service. And I just gave you an example of how... It's been destroyed for a very, very long time. As a matter of fact, when you walk down the street and you see a mailbox, the big blue mailbox, doesn't it remind you of a payphone? When was the last time you ever put anything in there?
All right. Didn't they have a little... Last week, we talked about a story about how efficient... I know UPS is a private company, though, right?
UPS is different than USPS, yes.
All right, cool. Because I know we had that story about the stockpile of packages that they
in California last week, people found somebody found in an alley somewhere a bunch of packages from UPS. Somebody from UPS must have lost it and just decided to leave a bunch of packages instead of stealing them. By the way,
mm-hmm. There's so many stories that we hear about that. Like we find like a briefcase full of ballots that never made it to the ballot box and like a briefcase somewhere during some election years, and it's just weird.
It's always seemingly something, Coleman. Yeah. So anyways, I just wanted to say that Kamala Harris, come on. God! President Trump isn't trying to destroy the United States Postal Service. The United States Postal Service has already done that. By the way, she's also said a couple of other things that aren't true. They asked her when she was running for president, she liked to listen to hip-hop and rap music. And if so, you know, who did she listen to? And she said, yeah. And they asked her if she smoked weed too. And she said, yeah, I smoked weed when I listened to Tupac and Snoop when I was in college.
Smoke weed every day.
And then the interview ended and they realized, wait a minute, she graduated college in 1986. Tupac and Snoop didn't come around until the early 90s.
Yeah, 91, 93.
Yeah. So she's got to go get a few things straight. Anyways, coming up on the show, LSU is announcing their schedule today. Yes. Three of the Power Five conferences are going to give it a shot. They're going to try to play college football. A few of the not-so-Power Five conferences are going to try to play as well. While other conferences have said, we're not playing college football this fall, and members of Ohio State University's team, they've got a signature campaign going. They've got a lot of signatures saying, let us play! Let us play! We'll get into that coming up on the show. We have a lot to do this morning on the show. Hang out with us. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You know, last week on the show, I said, if you want to blame the communist Chinese government for coronavirus shutting down so much here in America, ruining a lot of people's lives, that's okay. It's not racist. We're not blaming the Chinese people walking down the street. They're communist government. As far as I'm concerned, they're not stupid. They knew they had a virus there, and they let people with that virus get on airplanes in China and fly out all over the world. So to blame the communist Chinese government, it's not wrong. And it's not racist, but I hear people saying that a lot. I mean, President Trump continues to blame the China and the communist government there for the coronavirus pandemic. People are saying he's racist. Meanwhile, Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is blaming the Jews. Nobody's saying anything about her.
I apologize to the Jews.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I saw this headline and I got scared a little bit. Kind of freaked me out. Pepperoni shortage strikes small pizza places across the United States. Nah. No, say it ain't so. We can't run out of pepperoni, America's favorite pizza topping. You know, I've always wondered if we would ever run out of any kind of foods, and I've talked about it before on the show. I always thought chicken or parts of chicken wings. I mean, so many people eat chicken. And remember a few years ago, right before the Super Bowl, they said, we're getting short on chicken wings. You might not have as many chicken wings for your Super Bowl party as you're used to.
It didn't seem that way. The Super Bowl came and went, and nobody complained about that they couldn't get their wings.
Well, Coleman, you have a second job at night. Mm-hmm. You deliver chicken wings,
right?
And your boss has never come to you and said, "Hey, man, this week, you know, we may be short."
Not because of a lack of chicken, maybe because he probably, when he was making the order, hit the wrong number on the boxes he wanted.
Oh,
something
okay,
like that. Different. But never a shortage like, oh, no, there's no more chickens on earth.
Because I always thought we eat so much chicken and so mm-hmm. many chickens. Is there ever going to be a time when one day, what do you mean there's no chicken? Well, it's been eating too much of it.
Short economic lesson. A lot of people are concerned about extinct species, like species going extinct, like they had a gorilla about to be born and some tigers that are endangered species. But the best way to preserve an animal on Earth is to start eating it, because as long as we eat an animal, that gives people an incentive to keep cultivating that animal. So we're never going to run out of chickens. We're never going to run out of cows. Anything that we eat, we're never going to run out of, because people can make money off this. So we're going to breed chickens, we're going to breed cows, but things like zebras and stuff that we don't eat, they can go extinct because we don't eat them. So the best way to preserve an animal is just to start eating them. You didn't know that, did you?
No, but I thought the way you started saying that is, you know, the animals we eat, whether it's pigs or cows or things like that,
they're never going to go extinct.
They know that we eat them, so what do they look around and see their pals being eaten, and then they say, look, we have to do more sex? That's where I thought you were going with this.
No.
Right. I don't want zebras to go extinct.
Well, we got to start eating zebras then.
Well,
if we start serving zebra burgers, people will start breeding more zebras.
Well, pepperoni lovers may have to learn to be okay with either a plain cheese pizza or other toppings for a little while.
Except pineapple.
Various shortages have struck during coronavirus pandemic. Isn't that something? This another thing that coronavirus has taken away? As if it hasn't been devastating enough to people? Pepperoni could be another victim of coronavirus. I mean, first we thought it was just toilet paper. Coins. You can't find coins anywhere now. And quarters. You ever go try to find a quarter lately? Or
I have a stash. I probably shouldn't have said that on the air, but I have a lot of coins stashed.
Pepperoni has apparently fallen victim to this pandemic. Pizza shops across the United States say they're paying higher prices for pepperoni and have noticed that the supply has become tighter. Restaurants all the way from New York to California to South Dakota have reportedly seen a significant increase in price of pepperoni, with the cost nearly doubling in some areas. I mean, how much would you pay for pepperoni? I mean, I love it, but I'm gonna pay double what I normally pay for it. You can find some other topping that I could put on the pizza. Other meat products saw temporary price increases during the pandemic, and I'm sure you've noticed that when you go to the grocery store. Have you noticed groceries are more expensive now than they were back in the beginning of the year before the pandemic?
Yeah, supply and demand.
No doubt about that. Ground beef is more expensive. But pepperoni. Whew. And they don't see an end in sight when the price of pepperoni is coming down.
I think it'll work itself out because, like you said, we did have a toilet paper hoarding thing at the beginning of this year, but we got through that. There is a coin shortage, but there's coins somewhere. You know, it's not as bad as it seems. So I think we're going to get through this, too. I'm trying to be optimistic. You think we just ran out of beer. And remember, we was talking about the things that people are eating the most now during the COVID, and it was like queso cheese. And
well, yeah, cheese is another thing, they say, because evidently during coronavirus, people are eating a lot more pizza than they ever ate before the coronavirus because you know, it's easier, I mean, especially when you're stuck home cooking all the time. Okay, tonight I want to take off from cooking. Let me call to get pizza. And then there's lots of people doing that right now.
What's the weirdest pizza topping that you've ever ate that you can remember?
The weirdest pizza topping?
Yeah, something that people wouldn't think you'd like on pizza. Because I remember you brought me to that pizza spot that was by your place, and it had like a blueberry toppings on one of the pizzas.
No, I don't like that. I don't know. I'm not, when it comes to eating, Coleman, I'm not that daring. I only eat a few things. But when it comes to pizza topping, you brought up pineapple. I would never order that for a pizza. That was a West Coast thing. You know what I like on pizza that a lot of people don't order or don't think to order or get on pizza? Bacon.
I get bacon on my pizza.
You do?
Yeah, I love bacon, pepperoni, sausage, ham, and jalapeno peppers. Those are my toppings.
The pork and peppers.
Yeah, pork and peppers.
That's B&P. That's what you like, huh? Well, hopefully we can get through this pepperoni pandemic when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic. But I never thought I'd see a headline like that. Pepperoni shortage strikes small pizza places across the United States. No! All right, coming up on the show, I'm going to read you the saddest Facebook post that I've ever read in my life. And what's interesting about this Facebook post, the author who wrote it wasn't the one who was really sad. I mean, we see that a lot with some of our Facebook friends. The saddest Facebook post I've ever seen, it was just posted recently. That's coming up next here on the show on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Coming up next, you're not going to want to miss this. This is, I shouldn't call it just the saddest Facebook post I've ever seen, because it's not sad. It's not going to make you feel sad. It's not like when someone says, well, mom just checked into the hospital. I don't know if she's going to make it. It's not one of those. Maybe I should say the saddest / most pathetic Facebook post that I've ever seen. I'm going to read it to you next, and you're not going to want to miss this coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I'm sure you're like me if you're on Facebook and there are several times where I just scratch my head and I'm shaking my head reading what some people decide to post on Facebook, what they put up there. And I always think to myself, why would you put that on Facebook? You know, why would you put that on anywhere on social media? Well, then I saw this. This is the saddest social media post I've ever seen. And it's not sad in the way that it's going to make you feel sad. You know, it's not sad like someone saying, you know, puts up a picture of their father from 12 years ago saying, well, it was 12 years ago tomorrow that dad died. And, you know, it sucks. I miss you. You know, I think we all have friends like that. That totally bring you down when you're scrolling through your Facebook feed. This one, I believe this originally went up on Instagram, and then from there it went to Facebook. This is a picture that a woman posted. She's very attractive. She's younger. And she's standing right next to a man, and they're at some horse stable. And this is what she wrote. And they're both smiling for the camera. I mean, they look like a nice couple having a good time at the horse stables, whatever they're doing there. And here's what it says, Coleman. From Top Golf to dinner, flowers, ice cream, and horseback riding, you outdid yourself on this friend date, Daniel. You wanted to set a standard for how I should be treated, and you sure set a high one. I thank God so much that he put an amazing friend like you in my life. Thank you for making me feel like a true princess. Hashtag still single though.
I had no idea how bad it was going
to
be.
How would you like to be that guy, Daniel?
I would not like to be that guy, Daniel.
And
No.
And this gone out, this is... Originally, the original post, there were 79 names that were, 79 different people that were tagged on this post, meaning that, you know, all of this girl's friends, this young woman's friends, mm-hmm. and probably him and a bunch of his friends, too. I mean,
So it wasn't enough to just post it. She had to make sure that her friends see it by tagging all of her friends. She wanted to see it on the post as well.
Yeah, she wants everyone to see.
Oh, no.
She wants everyone to see what they did on this date.
Oh,
and here's a picture. Here's a picture of him and I, you know, arm in arm, you know, smiling right in front of the horses here. Now I found out that they went horseback riding. That was one of the many things that he did with her that day and night. But you look at these two and you look at the picture, you're thinking this is, hey, an all-American couple. They're both smiling ear to ear. Like I said, she's a very attractive woman.
She went out of her way.
It wasn't bad enough to say, like after this wonderful date that she loved so much, it wasn't so much for her to wait until he calls her again or texts her to say, you know what, let's take a break. I'm not feeling it, whatever the case may be. She had to go to social media and, like you just said, call out everybody she knows and maybe some people he knows, saying everything that he did, all the money that he spent on her. Look at top golf, dinner, flowers, ice cream, horseback riding. Huh. Boy, you really outdid yourself on this friend date. And then she went out of her way to say this wasn't even a real date.
The hell it wasn't.
You outdid yourself on this friend date, Daniel. You wanted to set a standard for how I should be treated, and you sure set a high one. I thank God so much that he put an amazing friend like you in my life. So that's twice now in this short little paragraph. She has told everybody that he's only a friend. Look at all he spent on me, and he got zilch. Not only did he get nothing out of me and get nothing from me, he will never get anything out of me or from me.
But he did set the standard, though. He did set the standard. And that's the insulting part about it. This man, and like she said, he went out of his way to set the standard to show her how she could be treated.
That's right.
And she knows how this guy could treat her if she would give this guy a chance, but she made it a point to say, even though I know this is the standard, he went out of his way to meet the standard. It's probably the highest standard that she ever got based on her attitude. And she's still like, even though this is the standard, she's still going to be my friend, which means she wanted to show somebody else, the guy that she's really into, what she expects from that guy.
Yes.
Because she's not getting it from that guy. So she used him to show the other guy that she really wants how she wants to be treated. But guess what? The other guy's still not going to do it. So and the saddest part about it, after he did all that, she probably still went home and boned the original guy that doesn't treat her the way the friend treats her.
He probably doesn't look the way she wants him to look. She maybe doesn't have the body. He doesn't have the body that she's looking for. So she's doing what many attractive women do. She's playing him. Because maybe the guy that she does like, the guy that does look the way she wants her man to look, or maybe has the body, the muscles that she wants her man to have, if he looks that good, he's probably going around doing that with so many other women anyways that he doesn't have to spend all of that money because they only want to be with him because of how he looks. And then the last line on this whole little short paragraph of the most pathetic social media, this is one of the saddest things I have ever seen. Again, not for the author, but for the person that she was with. The last line, thank you for making me feel like a true princess. # still single, though.
You know what's going to happen?
As great as all of this was.
Right.
I mean, you spent money. We had the best time. I mean, the horseback riding, the top golf dinner was great, the flowers and the ice cream. But because you don't look the way that I want you to look, or your body isn't the way that I want it to be, or
No, she just wanted to make a point that she's still available. So hopefully the guy she really likes, once he meets the standard, he still has a chance to get with her. But She did tag 70 of her friends, so maybe one of her friends will be smart enough to say, well, if you don't want him, if he's treating you like this, I'll go ahead on and take him off your hands and go further than just being a friend. So hopefully that's some marketing for him.
There were 79 people that were included on that post.
And hopefully one of those 79 people is a smart young woman that says, if you don't want to be treated like a princess, I will be treated like a princess then. I'll take him off your hands. And you go back to that loser that you're trying to make jealous on social media.
This is one way that social media can destroy people. I mean, remember the good old days before the internet, before social media? You know, if you went on a date and... You know, you either liked that person or you didn't. It was pretty much just between the two of you, and you found out one way or the other, hey, are we going out again? No? Okay. Well, geez, I tried. Or, you know, I really don't feel like going out again. Either you just don't call them back, or you do call them back and say, you know, it's whatever, it's just not happening. But only the two of you knew about that. Now look at all of these friends, people, all of these people that you know what happened.
We have a texter that may have solved the mystery. He says, I saw that picture of that friend. He doesn't look like the type that's into women.
Well, hey, between the dinner and the Top Golf and the flowers and the ice cream and the horseback riding, if he's not really into women, then well, his wallet didn't realize that. Oh, boy. I'm going to get this up on the... on the Bayou Facebook page, so you can...
You're going to make him suffer even more?
Come on. I know, I should end this. I shouldn't be another one who shares it to our radio station that has, what, 80,000 people on it. Yeah, I shouldn't do that. Maybe I won't. I feel so bad just looking at the two guys. And then I'm just looking at the horses, and then I'm looking at the horse crap that's right behind them as well, and that's probably... how this poor guy felt after this hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the saddest, or I should say saddest / most pathetic social media post that I've ever seen here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. All right, I put the saddest social media post ever. I just posted that on our website at bayou957.com. So if you want to see it, I got the picture of the two. They're standing in front of the horses at the stables. And then you could see the text underneath it, how this woman went out of her way to tell all of her friends on her Instagram page that, hey, this guy, what an amazing date. He spent all kinds of money, dinner, flowers, ice cream, horseback riding. We went to Top Golf. We went here. We went there. I thank God so much that he put a friend like you in my life, and you set the standard for how high the bar should be set. So, yeah, it's on our website right now, and then # still single, though. Like she had to tell everybody.
Well, here's the cool part. By process of elimination, clearly if she's single, ladies, that means he's single too. So if you're looking for somebody to treat you like a princess, go check it out.
Yeah, and I see what the texter, when we were doing this break a few minutes ago, was talking about Coleman. Because I'm looking at this guy's pants now in the picture.
Yeah, see, that's, I don't know.
They're pretty tight and short.
It's a millennial thing, though. They have the skinny leg jeans, and they have the man buns now, so it's kind of hard to tell.
I mean, but if he wasn't into girls, you'd never know it by all the money he spent at Top Golf, dinner, flowers, ice cream, horseback riding. Boy, on a friend date, what an amazing friend she had to tell everybody on her Instagram. This thing's been passed around. 79 people have reacted to it already. Well, hey, go see the saddest social media post ever. And again, the good part about this is it's not sad. We all see people write sad social media posts, but this wasn't about the author of the post being sad. She just made it sad for the other person in the damn post. It's on our website right now. Go check it out at bayou957.com. Bayou95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And this afternoon, LSU is going to release and announce their 10-game football schedule. Yes! Finally! And the SEC, the conference LSU plays in, they're one of three conferences out of the Power Five conferences who have decided to play football this fall during coronavirus. And it's the SEC, the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, and the Big 12. And some people are joking, saying that south of the state of Virginia or south of the Mason-Dixon line, they don't understand what a pandemic is.
I mean, we understand it, but
no, I say we understand it, but they want to give it a shot. They want to try to play football. I thought last week when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 out west would. When those two conferences were the first two conferences, the Power Five conferences, to say we're not going to play football this fall, I thought they panicked, and I thought they did it a little bit too soon. They could have waited. They could have said, you know what, we're gonna maybe delay the start of the season 4 weeks or 6 weeks. They could have done something like that instead of. Last week, during the first week of August, cancel the entire fall football season. And if they thought they were giving anybody any hope by saying, we're going to try to play again in the spring, nobody wants spring football. And as a matter of fact, if you're not playing this fall because you're concerned about the safety of your student athletes, playing in the spring next spring and then playing in the fall again next fall, having two college football seasons in the same calendar year, only separated by what, a month and a half, 2 months? That's not safe at all. That's less safe than playing during the coronavirus.
I mean, playing football in general is probably just as safe as, you know, the pandemic. If you, it's the same amount of precautions. Outside of the game, we wear a mask. Inside of the game, they wear pads. It's pretty much the same thing. They're taking a risk no matter what. Whether they play or don't play, they're taking, there's some risk involved. So why not just take the risk and have fun instead of being, you know, taking a risk and just staying inside and not having fun? You get what I mean?
Why couldn't they at least give it a shot?
Exactly. Let's just try it and see.
When they did this last week, Holman, when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 did this, last week, I'm thinking to myself, why can't you even attempt to try to play in an empty stadium? Why can't you even, and again, like I said when we started talking about this, instead of panicking and pulling the plug in the first week of August, couldn't you say, let's wait 4 weeks to start, or wait 6 weeks to start, and then make, and then...
Remember that Spirit of America back when we decided to build skyscrapers? You know, remember when we wanted to go to the moon or go to the bottom of the Marianas Trench? Like, take those type of risks and just be bold and see what happens. Like, I wonder what happened to that spirit. Now we're just kind of like all standoffish and we're all cautious. We don't want to take risks anymore. We don't want to sacrifice like one life for the benefit of the entire world. You know, what happened to that spirit of bravery and boldness that we used to have?
It only took, a little over a year to build the Empire State Building during the Great Depression. During the Great Depression. And right now, coronavirus, this is the worst time in American history since that very Great Depression. So they were able to build the Empire State Building quick during the Great Depression. I mean, imagine when the first time someone was looking at someone else, COVID, in this country and said, you know what? Let's get a rocket or some kind of spaceship, put some guys on it, and send it to the moon. We'll park it on the moon, and the guys will get out, and they'll dance on the moon. Can you imagine the first couple of times people said that? And now...
We're scared. We can't even go outside now. We can't even go to inside of a store without a mask or play football
because of a virus, we can't go out and play football in an empty stadium? We're watching baseball being played in an empty stadium. So far, only three teams in baseball have been affected. The Miami Marlins were the first team, and half of them got coronavirus, and they're having the best year of their life. After they were shut down for about a week, they're in first place in the National League East. The St. Louis Cardinals were shut down for a while, and now the Cincinnati Reds just got shut down. And it's each of those teams were shut down for a little while because someone or a few people on those teams acted irresponsibly, went to some place they shouldn't have gone, whether it was a strip club, the Miami Marlins, whether it was a casino with the St. Louis Cardinals, or I don't know where the Cincinnati Reds players went yet, but they were the third team to get shut down. But think about it. I mean, there's a lot of baseball teams out there, and only three teams have been shut down so far.
Yeah. So to answer the criticism from those up north, yes, we in the South do understand what a pandemic is. We also understand what making bold moves and living life and taking risks is all about as well.
Yeah. And you can't live your life being scared. You just can't, because that's not life at all. Now, I hope they make it through the whole college football season, but they're going to give it a shot. And today, LSU releases their schedule. It's only a 10-game in-conference schedule. And again, there are some of the conferences that aren't so powerful. I told you three out of the five Power 5 conferences are still trying to play football. But the smaller conferences, the not-so-powerful conferences, like the one Tulane is in, the American Athletic Conference, they're ready to go. They're going to play football. But some other ones aren't. So it's interesting to see which ones are playing football this fall and which ones aren't. And I just saw in the NFL, the Los Angeles Chargers just announced they will have 20% capacity fans this year. If they're lucky, they'll get 20% capacity of the new stadium they're playing in, because they're not very popular in Los Angeles. They don't really want them there. And I don't even think they got 20% of their own fans in their own stadium last year when they were playing in that small soccer stadium. So I'm just fired up for football. And it's cool to see sports again over this past weekend, watching some baseball, watching the hockey playoffs. The basketball playoffs are about to start. Hockey, basketball, inside of a bubble. Baseball and golf, no bubble. They're bubbleless. And just like football's going to be no bubble. No. Stay tuned. 2020, you never know what's next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
IU 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Boy, this is something that would only happen during coronavirus. Listen to this. A man lived in a Tampa Bay Stadium's luxury suite for over 2 weeks.
Say what?
Before he was arrested. And this isn't the stadium where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team plays. This is a stadium that hosts the Tampa Bay Rowdies Soccer Club. It's called Al Lang Stadium. And I'll be honest with you. If you've never been inside a suite at a stadium like the Superdome, even in the Smoothie King Center, the arena next door here, the luxury suites are so nice. And if you've ever sat in one of them or a suite at the Superdome for a Saints game, you're spoiled so much that if you ever go back to a game, you're thinking to yourself, what do you mean I can't go back to the suite? I have to actually go sit with the rest of the people in just a regular seat and chair, and I have to get up and go share a bathroom with all of those people. I have to get in line for a beer or a hot dog with all the other people.
I know you are exactly. I've been to all three. The one the Toronto Airline, Smoothie King Center, and the Superdome. I've been to all three, and it feels weird sitting in a regular 300 section right after that.
Yeah, it's almost like you can't go back. Well, listen to this. A homeless man in Florida, not only was he living there for a few weeks, when they arrested him, they ended up charging him for theft as well. He stole up to $1,200 worth of merchandise and food while living in the luxury suite of a Tampa Bay soccer stadium for over 2 weeks. 39-year-old Daniel Albert Neha.
Great young man.
He was arrested when an employee of Al Lang Stadium found blankets in the luxury suite. The stadium is home to the Tampa Bay Rowdies Soccer Club. Neha stole up to $1,000 worth of merchandise from the team store, as well as over $200 worth of food items. All right, look, he's homeless. Yeah. He's living in the luxury suite. Okay, a couple of $100 worth of food. Food is more expensive at stadiums than it is outside of stadiums. But he also raided the team's merchandise store.
Well, he needed clothes.
I think he's dressed like one of the soccer players. I think for a minute there, when the cops showed up there, they thought, wait a minute, why is one of the soccer players living here in the stadium, in one of the luxury suites?
Usually I'm down on homeless people and beggars because I see through their scam. But this guy, I give him initiative points. I mean, he found himself a suite. I'm quite sure he hit the showers a few times, which is a personal hygiene is a major thing with me. And then he like said, screw it, I'm going to wear some of the merch. He probably got some T-shirts, some sweatbands, and then he got some conies and popcorn.
If you think about it, you could live very comfortably in a luxury suite in a stadium. Hang on, I got the police report right here. This is what it says in the police report. He got into the merchandise store and was wearing a bunch of team merchandise.
Yeah.
Again, I wonder if they thought when they first saw him, hey, why is one of the players living here? And then they went back and they looked at their surveillance footage because it's a fairly new stadium and everything is on. They got video cameras everywhere now. And they figured out that this guy, Mr. Neha, had been living in this luxury suite since the end of July, the last week in July.
They should do this guy solid, and when he gets out, they should just make him the team mascot because I've never even heard of the team until this story
came out. I'm going to get to that momentarily. Because okay. I never heard of him either, and I'm a big sports fan. And I'm continuing from the police report here, Coleman. While the officers were there, one of the employees spotted him and went into the stadium. He must have saw that because then he left. He went outside the stadium, and officers caught up with him right outside the stadium, and he was wearing the same clothes that he had been wearing on the surveillance video for the last couple of weeks. Again, we weren't sure if he was one of the players or not. And they arrested him on third-degree felony burglary and a first-degree misdemeanor of resisting an officer without violence. And his bond is currently set at $5,150. That's a lot of soccer gear. What's interesting is they said this never would have happened if we weren't going through the coronavirus pandemic right now because that stadium would normally be full of people. And the luxury suites would be in use and they would be cleaned regularly. Now listen to this though, because I never heard of the Tampa Bay Rowdies either. The Tampa Bay Rowdies play in the USL Championship. That's the second-tier United States Soccer League behind Major League Soccer. So look at that. Not only do we have a first-tier soccer league, professional soccer league in this country called Major League Soccer, there is a second-tier league underneath them, and they have their own stadiums with obviously really nice suites where you could live in there.
And merch. And merchandise.
That club was founded in 2008, Coleman, so that club is 12 years old. And they're the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And they busted a guy living in one of the luxury suites in that stadium.
I give them initiative points. Like I said, I see a lot of bums and homeless people. They never tried to do anything like this. They don't even like going to hotels or taking showers and stuff. But here's this guy saying, you know what? I want to do better in my life. I want to upgrade myself. Here's this suite. Why not live in luxury for a little while? He lived better than me in 2 weeks than I do in my own home.
I could easily live in one of the suites in the Superdome. They're so comfortable. They got a lot of leather couches. You could sleep on them. And then you need to take a shower. You just go downstairs, go to the locker room.
Yep.
You know, you got your own bathroom in the suite up there.
They should, like I said, they should let this guy be the mascot when he gets out. Put his merchandise on, let him sell the merchandise stands. Say, hey, I'm the guy that used to sleep in the suite. Pretty nice.
Well, he got a little over 2 weeks in the luxury suite. And then one other thing it says in the story here. It says, it is not clear whether Mr. Neha has legal representation at this time. I'm going to go out on a limb saying if this guy was living in a luxury suite at a soccer stadium in Tampa Bay that hosts the second tier of an American professional sports soccer league here in the United States of America, I'm going to say he doesn't have enough coin, enough money for a lawyer or any type of legal representation at the present time.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one.
All right, coming up on the show, I got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and I never saw something so dumb happen at a lemonade stand. A lemonade stand! You're not going to want to miss this coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. They are having record-breaking heat waves out west in America right now, out in Death Valley, Southern California, and places like that. I mean, it's so hot that meth dealers are cooking the meth on the street.
I'm on meth.
So, it's something out there. Hey, I just read where Jason Newsted, who used to play bass for Metallica, I saw an interview with him, and he was asked, is he set for life because of the album he played on, the Black Album, which is almost 30 years old now, but to this day still continues to sell around 4,000 to 5,000 copies a week, which is incredible when you think about it. He said in the interview, he said, before we did that album, when I got into Metallica, he was first a hired gun. Basically just paid like you'd pay another employee. But then they hooked him up with a money man. And on the album before the Black Album, he took the money that he was making there and he gave it to their money man who invested it for him, and it did really well. And so basically he said, oh, I got really rich off of that Black Album, but I was already rich on the album before. Let's hear from that Black Album right now. Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and it has to do with a lemonade stand. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Hi, John Osterlin here with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this is one of those hybrids. This is one of those dumbest thing I read and saw all morning, and you're going to be able to see it too if you haven't already. lemonade stand robbed at gunpoint over $30. This happened in Peoria, Illinois. Police there are searching for two teenagers who robbed a 13-year-old's lemonade stand at gunpoint. The robbery occurred this past Friday when two males approached the 13-year-old boy and his friends as they sold lemonade on the corner right in front of the 13-year-old's home. And then in a video provided by a neighbor, which we have now, it's on our website, you see a male in a dark hoodie who was described as a teenager, moves fast, walking across the street, and he's got an accomplice with him. And he's displaying what looks like a gun. He walks up to the table. Remember, the lemonade stand. He snatches the boy's cash box, running off with $30 that was in it. And how much do those cash boxes cost? They cost a few bucks, cash boxes. Yeah,
it was a metal one, too.
Yeah.
$30, two accomplices, so it's $15 a piece? Really?
Plus the cash box. The father was in his basement. The father of the kid selling lemonade right outside the house on the corner was in the basement when his wife, the kid's mother, called down to him saying she had been told that her boy and his friends were jumped. Quote, I just almost blacked out a little bit, like I felt my body running up the stairs. But for just a moment, it was pretty intense, the father said. You know, we've seen some stupid things. We all have in our lives. Have you seen anything dumber than a lemonade stand being robbed at gunpoint for $30? We've got that video for you if you haven't seen it. It's on our website right now at bayou957.com. Just when you thought, when you wake up in the morning and you think, you know, there's nothing's going to happen today that really I've never seen before, or, you know, dealt with before. I guarantee you, you've never seen perps charge across the street with a gun to rob a lemonade stand, rob a child, a 13-year-old who was selling lemonade.
But the good news is the boys didn't really get jumped. That was an exaggeration. The two assailants just took the cash box and ran. So the kids didn't get jumped. It was okay. And the good news is that the neighbors helped out. Once the neighbors found out what happened, they all pitched in. They brought the kids some concessions so they can continue to sell. And the boys were encouraged not to give up. Don't let this incident discourage you from selling your lemonade. Just things like that happen, but keep it pushing.
Yeah, you're good point, Coleman. I know once this news spread around that neighborhood on Friday in Peoria, Illinois, after this happened, a couple of people walked by with $20 bills and said, I'll take a glass of lemonade. It's hot. It's humid today. I'm parched. And they said, you keep the change. And then some people brought over food and snacks. And they said, hey, you know, here, they dumped them off. Why don't you sell these, too? And some people. So, you know, when something so awful happens, or so stupid, you'll always see how the good of people comes to the forefront. So like I said, if you haven't seen that video yet, go check it out on our website at bayou957.com. The lemonade stand robbed at gunpoint over $30. It's the dumbest thing I read and saw all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you've never seen the documentary, The Decline of Western Civilization, Part 2, The Metal Years, I highly recommend it. You know, especially these days when people are asking, what's there to watch? And we've talked about documentaries before, but this thing came out way back in 1988. From the day it came out, it was one of my favorite documentaries ever made. It was focused on the rock scene on Los Angeles' Sunset Strip there in Hollywood. And it had some bands in it like Aerosmith and Alice Cooper and Megadeth, but it also had a bunch of bands who were unsigned, but they were trying to make it, and they were so ridiculous, and they said some of the dumbest things ever. The woman who made it, her name is Penelope Spheris. She went on to make Wayne's World not long after that. And the reason I'm bringing this up now, well, A, if you've never seen it, Netflix it as soon as you possibly can. It's called The Decline of Western Civilization Part 2. But they're doing an update on that. Where are they today? Like, what happened to these guys who never made it and said, if I don't become as big as Led Zeppelin, I'm going to kill myself? Well, he didn't kill himself. And there are a few other guys that they caught up with all of these years later. And I've got that information for you on our website at Bayou957.com, The Decline of Western Civilization. Where are they now? Go check that out. And again, if you haven't, if you've never seen that before, rent it. And if you have seen it, it'll be interesting for you to see what some of these losers are doing now with their lives. Hey, it's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.